Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, as the Padres prepare to play their third of four against Atlanta, Jesse Agler is here with the man that everyone else is here to see, Kurt Bavacqua.
These are your people.
I know.
Control exactly. Your people.
Kurt knows it ain't easy being so darn popular.
You know, this is a stressful job. That's all there is
to it. You're sitting on a leather couch talking about baseball.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
Hey, good Wednesday to you. Welcome, Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was exactly. A tough one last night, right?
Oh, I didn't even think you were going to say that. I don't think an hour is nearly enough time.
We have that much to talk
about. Oh, yeah.
You know, from last night.
I think there's a lot to talk about.
My, oh, my, oh, my. I mean, two nights ago, Monday night in Atlanta, the very first game of this series was one of the most exciting, thrilling, and best wins of the season for the Padres. And then whatever the opposite of all of that is what last night was. Just like a stomach punch on a couple of different levels. You know, it's 5-0. Shields is in command. You don't even think that there's anything to worry about at all. And then you have that weird sixth inning, and it all kind of falls apart. And then Benoit and the home run. But they still have opportunities, and they can't cash in on any of them. And just a really, really tough and disappointing defeat yesterday for the Padres. So welcome to the show and to the AMR studio. We'll talk about all of that with Kurt Bavacqua. We'll talk a little bit about the draft. We've also got some roster moves to discuss, a pair of moves made today by the Padres, one of which isn't really a huge surprise, but still it's something we all sort of knew could happen. We just weren't sure if it was going to, and it has. Jed Jerko down to AAA. So plenty to talk about. We'll take your questions and your comments on Twitter. You can use the hashtag PadresSH. You can also go online to Padres.com/social hour, where you can watch and listen to the show and participate in a chat as well. If you hear rock and roll in the background at any point, Aerosmith is out in the outfield, and they appear to be doing a sound check right now. So don't be alarmed if you hear Steven Tyler screaming and wailing in the background, because they're out there getting ready for the private event at Petco Park here tonight. Where do you want to start with last night?
I thought it was going to be longer than an hour. You just covered it.
Yeah.
You did good on the wrap.
No, I mean, I think there's a lot to...
Oh, there really is.
There's a lot to dive into. Here's the weird one, right? You're up 5-0 with Shields in the middle innings, and you kind of feel like, we're good here. I can sit back on my couch, relax, and watch this one. And that sixth inning where the Braves batted around and came back, it was just one of the stranger innings I think we've seen all season.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that James was on base the inning before.
Ah.
And although Buddy kind of swept it under the rug, I truly believe that was the nemesis in that sixth inning.
Interesting. His hit started a rally for the Padres.
Yes, it did.
A significant rally, you know, that really did matter, at least at the moment, and helped the Padres stretch that lead out. So I wouldn't trade that. But, you know, with the heat and the humidity and the base running, although he had a little bit of time to cool off before the – I don't know. It was just strange stuff happened. You had the Spangenberg play at second base where it was kind of a tough in-between hop on the grounder. He's charging in on. He can't make the play. You know, Simmons has a really nice at-bat. You know, the 3-run double that at first you thought was a 2-run double. And that's another stomach punch, right? Three reversals at the plate in this game in the sixth inning and then later on that go the bad way for the Padres. And how frustrating is that, right? It's just one of those, you know, things where you feel like you've gotten it all figured out and then you make the play at the plate, you make the throw to the plate, and you don't get the – or you get the call and then it's reversed. That's such a tough momentum thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely it is. But I tell you what, it's even more of a reason why umpires need to be judged and rated. They cannot put umpires like Jerry Meals behind the plate and expect him to do the job when it's very obvious that he can't. The play that was the worst out of all of them?
Upton.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was out by 2
for
feet.
Him to miss that play and being where he was in position – is unacceptable. I mean, it's just flat out unacceptable. If I'm ahead of the umpires union, I'm replacing him with someone else. He's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the good news, quote unquote, and obviously it worked against the Padres, so not really, but the good news is that because of replay, you're able to correct mistakes like that. Again, all three calls went against the Padres, but they did get the calls right, so you can't really be upset about it because you want to get the call right, you know, more than anything else. But the Upton one, you had that brief moment of excitement of, all right, you know, that's a big run for the Padres to take the lead on the Norris chopper to the left side. But, you know, the minute you saw the first slow-mo replay, you're like, oh, he's out by 2 feet. And you know, the wind is sort of out of the balloon or out of the sails.
It was almost like he was trying to make up for the other two calls, thinking he could slide. And, okay, if they don't replay this, I'll make up for putting it over on Buddy for a couple of times. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, he was so far out. He was out by a foot or two.
Yeah. No, he really was.
And even though I wanted him to score, it's just terrible. And if you look, he's in position right there. For him not to be able to see that, that's really a shame. I mean, it really is. He's a major league umpire. Can you imagine all the calls that he has missed in the years that he's been an umpire in a major league where there wasn't replay that might have cost a team games?
It's funny you say that because I was talking about that with somebody last night. I think you sort of look at all the replays and all of the overturnings that take place and you go, man, you add up the first 160 years of baseball or whatever it was at the major league level prior to instant replay being put in. That's a lot of really bad missed calls that took place. Now, look, you didn't have the technology for it for a lot of those years, so it really only became something that was feasible in the last decade or maybe two. I think the super slow-mo high-def thing was the tipping point, and that's sort of when you saw the NFL start to bring it back. It was, you know, maybe right before HD, but you know, they had an idea that, all right, this is something we can really do with a degree of accuracy. Television is the whole reason there is replay, as far as I'm concerned. And I've said this before a few times. The whole point to me is obviously to get the call right, but it's also so that somebody at home sitting on their couch cannot see something that the umpires can't. You know, if I can sit on my couch and know whether a guy is safe or out, then the umpire should really be able to know if he was safe or out. And just with the technology now, that happens far more frequently. You have to just prove to the TV viewer that at least beyond a reasonable doubt the call was correct. And you have that loophole of there's not enough evidence to overturn it, which I appreciate and understand. You know, those really, really close ones, you go, it could have been this or it could have been that. Leave it. I get that. That's totally fine. But the ones last night, unfortunately for the Padres, were all corrected. But you're right. You go back over the years and you know, obviously you're thinking about Matt Holliday's slide in game 163, but just so many calls, even those random June games in Atlanta that you might not have thought much about in 2004 or whatever. A lot of missed calls over the years. There were. I mean, there's no question about it.
I think the umpiring has gotten worse. I think a generation ago, and I'm going back 20 or 30 years, umpiring was much better. I think they took it more seriously. I think they were better umpires. They had it harder. These guys have it easier.
Because why do you say they have it easier?
Because they're making good money.
Okay.
They get 2 weeks off, whereas umpires back in my era, they never got off. Once they left home before spring training started and started going doing spring training games, they never saw their house.
Yeah.
Unless they were lucky and lived in a major league city. They never saw their house until the season was over.
Yeah. So you think they're coddled and that's the issue?
I think they're coddled. They're spoiled. I don't have any doubt that they deserve and earn the money that they, in most instances, that they get. But I think they need to be held to the standards of being a major league umpire.
Yeah.
And I don't think they are.
Kurt Bavakwa, angry at umpires since 1977.
Right now. No.
Yeah. No. I mean, I get it. I don't know that. I don't know that I'll jump on board with that they were better a generation ago because I don't think we know how good or not those guys were because you didn't have this technology that you had today. You know, a lot of these guys that are sort of lauded as the great umpires of the era or even just the normal umpires of an era, they weren't being scrutinized the way these guys are now. That's the other part of this, is the guys today, we know every – think about Fox tracks, for goodness sakes, balls and strikes. Forget a play at the plate. You know, like you had last night three times, you know whether a guy is giving an inch off the strike zone or if he's squeezing a pitcher instantaneously. So the scrutiny that these guys are under is so extraordinary that it makes it very easy to say, oh, this guy sucks. But the reality is it's an incredibly difficult job to do. And a generation ago, they might have sucked even more. We just didn't know about it because, you know, there were three TV cameras in the whole ballpark and you had no way of knowing what was going on. But you might be right. I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of scrutiny And last night, you're right. There were a couple of those where, you know, come on, you got to get that on the first try. You know, Yeah. You would think. The Upton one in particular, like you said. That false hope is the worst, right? As a fan, you're like, oh, he's safe. And then you see the replay and, you know, they've got a challenge and you're, ah.
I learned to live with the fact that if an umpire was a pitcher's umpire, even though I was a hitter, I lived with that. And I said, okay. Because there were pitcher's umpires out there.
Sure.
And there were also hitter's umpires. So when they umpired a game and I was in that ball game, I took advantage of that situation. As long as they're consistent, I don't think you're going to hear too much griping out of any hitters or pitchers. It's when they're inconsistent is when things go awry.
Sure, no.
And I think that's where you have to be somewhat held to a standard of being a major league player or a major league umpire and being able to do the job consistently.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think if all right, we know that this guy is always going to have a wide strike zone or a tall strike zone, as long as it's consistent, you know, night in and night out for that guy, I think that's fine. But, again, with Fox Tracks and the scrutiny that we're putting these guys under,
mm-hmm.
night in and night out,
okay,
fair. It's harder to say that.
That's a fair argument.
It really is, but I don't know. I mean, we've talked a lot about umpires this year. We really have.
Not a whole lot.
No, we've talked a lot.
We have?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just, oh, yeah, you do other shows that I don't do.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Right. It's especially, I think, that first month of the season this year, maybe even the first 5-6 weeks into May. I mean, it seemed like every other night we were talking about umpiring on this show. But yesterday, again, they got the calls right. To me, at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. But I digress. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the roster move. Jurco down to AAA El Paso. Nick Vincent is back up. We've got a Will Myers update for you as well. And also some other things to discuss about last night's game. You're not the only one thinking that James Shields running the bases might have had a negative impact on his pitching in the following inning. A couple of people on Twitter chiming in.
I think it was pretty obvious.
With you.
Watching
yeah.
it yeah. On television as I was ready to go out to dinner. That game was over
yeah.
as far as I was concerned.
No, I know.
We were.
You felt like you were.
Because
like, cool.
I knew we were going to get to the restaurant within an inning, and I knew I was good because they had TVs, so I was cool.
You felt completely comfortable,
yeah. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose.
That's exactly right.
And I went, "We can't go now."
Yeah, that's a good way to describe
this. I'd
stay
in front of my
tonight.
Television and watch this. I don't want to scream yeah. in front of other patrons.
Yeah, you can go. You can go to the restaurant 5-0 in the seventh. You know, feeling pretty good.
Absolutely.
5-5, different story.
I lost my appetite.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break and come back, talk about the Jurco situation. Hey, join the Padres this Sunday for U.S. Army and Army National Guard Appreciation Day presented by USAA. All military and their families receive 50% off tickets to Sunday's 110 game against the Dodgers. Go to Padres.com/military. Padres.com/military. Should be another special Sunday here at Petco Park. It's going to be a crazy weekend. Dodgers and the Padres. By the way, Kershaw, Grinke, Bolsinger. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Take a break. More Padres Social Hour presented by United right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour. Kurt Bevacqua, Jesse Agler. Tony. Out at the park. At the park. Going to be a little crazy this weekend. Dodgers in town, and obviously got a couple of more games in Atlanta to get to, including tonight where Tyson Ross will be on the mound against young Williams Perez, who made his major league debut at the end of May. That game coming up at 4:10, and then an early game tomorrow, 9:10 a.m. first pitch Pacific time, which means we will we'll set some show history tomorrow.
The earliest show.
The earliest social hour. In history. Tomorrow, we will be on at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Who's doing that? Center?
Randy Jones.
Really?
Randy's getting, you know what? I think he gets up early a lot for hunting and fishing.
Hunting.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I think he's actually coming to us after he goes hunting. Like, he'll already be done. And we'll have gotten in a full morning of duck hunting by 8 o'clock. And then he'll come and do the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
So an 8 a.m. Show tomorrow. Blooper's bringing donuts and coffee for everybody, which is really nice. Really nice of him to do that. We appreciate that, Blooper. All right, we got some tweets coming in. Again, the roster move today. Nick Vincent recalled from AAA El Paso. Jed Jurco optioned down to the Chihuahuas. Ghost of Ray Kroc checks in first. He wants us to get Steven Tyler on the show, and he's preemptively using hashtag blame Blooper, suggesting that Blooper has no shot. Now, you ran into Steven Tyler
of
Aerosmith.
I actually did underneath.
on your way here.
I did.
Not 15, 20 minutes ago.
Only because it was the only way into the stadium. I mean, it was amazing. They wouldn't let me. I couldn't get in. Wouldn't let me in unless.
There's a lot of security.
Well, there's different passes that they're using now.
Okay.
Or for this particular event because it's private.
So it wasn't a situation where they had like a sign up at security with your face on it and it said, do not let this man enter. Okay.
No, it wasn't a 10 most wanted deal.
Look at the post office.
So he was actually talking with a Padre personnel underneath.
Okay.
Where it leads out to the where some of the restaurants are.
Uh-huh.
And in an Alexis area. And. They were briefing him on what to do and all of that stuff. And I walked by, and I wasn't going to interrupt it. And I was going to go on the field and walk out here like I normally do. Well, they wouldn't let me in. I said, no, you can't get in with that pass.
Gotcha.
I said, okay. So I turned around, and when I did, so did him and his group. And they were walking in front of me, and the four people that were with him kind of stopped, and he walked a couple of more steps, and I just I stopped and said hi.
Did you ask him to come on the show?
You know, I didn't know you wanted him.
You didn't pull the trigger. We'll take any of the musical acts that come to Petco. Now, okay. Blooper failed miserably when it came to the Rolling Stones. There was no Mick Jagger. So you whiffed.
Well, and I guess it's, yeah.
Yeah, you whiffed on Steven Tyler. However, this does present us a great opportunity, Blooper, for a Taylor Swift update. Taylor Swift is playing Petco Park in August, and Blooper has guaranteed that he will get her on the show in some way, shape, or form prior
really?
To her performance here. Okay. What's the latest on Taylor Swift?
I tweeted at her again.
Yeah?
Still no response.
Okay. Well, hey, you got to keep trying. You got to keep trying.
She only, what does she have, 22 million Twitter followers?
She's got to have one of the most followed accounts in the world. Are you following her?
No.
Okay, then that might be it. She
you
might
have to
say,
follow her.
Why am I going to write back to this Blooper character? He's not even following me.
I'll follow her.
There you go. All right, I think maybe that's been the issue.
Absolutely.
So now you follow her and then tweet at her, and then you can give us a new update.
Can't you tell if I hide her from my timeline?
No, you can mute her.
She can't tell?
No.
Oh, yeah, I'll follow
yeah,
her.
Yeah, no, yeah, okay. Why would you want to hide her, by the way? I hear she's delightful on Twitter. This is his work ethic.
Yeah, what chance do we have of getting her?
Wonder why we can't get anybody on. All right. Padres Haiku comes in with a poetic question. We always appreciate those. So here you go. Jerko got sent down. Do we need a reliever? Does he need a blow? I believe his syllables are correct to make that a haiku. I think it's all of the above, right? I think some of it is, yeah, you'd like a fresh arm in the bullpen, so Nick Vincent gets called up. It's not necessarily that Jerko needs a blow. He needs at bats, and he wasn't going to get those here. That's pretty clear at this point. Now he's going to have the opportunity to play most every day and try and straighten some things out with the Chihuahuas.
I would not be surprised if somebody could get Buddy to tell him, and I doubt if it'll happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if they let Jerko know that he was going to get sent out.
Yeah.
Because the writing was so far on the wall with black magic marker. I could see it as plain as day. And I know that if I saw it like that, I'm sure a lot of other people did. And I tell you what, though. I think when Jed Jerko, there's a good probability Jed Jerko is going to look back at this in 5 years and say, that's the best thing that ever happened to me.
That's certainly the best case scenario, is
yes.
that he goes down there, he figures it out. You know, the mechanical stuff that he's been working on with Mark Kotze and Alonzo Powell, the hitting coaches, click. And he starts raking down there, and he's able to come back up and sort of turn into the Jed Jerko that we saw maybe in 2013 and the Jed Jerko that made this organization commit to him long term last year.
Don't think for 1 minute that this ball club wanted to send him to AAA.
Sure.
They've got money invested in Jed Jerko, and they want him to perform. You know, it was just unfortunate that as soon as he started to swing the bat a little bit, the other guys that were playing also were doing so well. And I'm talking about the Spangenbergs and the Solartes.
Yes, that's it.
And Will Middlebrook started to swing the bat. So he wasn't afforded an opportunity like they were because Jed wasn't swinging the bat. So it was kind of a timing thing. And you know what? Timing is the big deal. About becoming a major league player and sticking around as a major league player and being an everyday player. Timing is of the essence, and Jed just didn't have it the last few months.
Yeah. Buddy Black did his weekly spot with Darren Smith on Mighty 1090 today. Among other things, he said, hey, you know, there are some subtle mechanical things to work on and that have been worked on with Jed. But he also said, you know, the league made an adjustment to Jed Jerko, as will happen when you come up and hit 20-plus home runs as a rookie. And he said Jed did not adjust back. And that's the cat and mouse game that's always taking place. You know, all the video that's out there, they see, hey, you know, he's chasing this pitch down and away or whatever it is. You've got then, as the hitter, to readjust. And it sounds like the Padres don't believe he did that. And now he'll get, you know, those at-bats down at AAA.
Well, I think Buddy hit the nail on the head. And Jed Jerko was doing exactly the opposite of what Harper's doing in Washington as a National, where he just takes inside pitches and he goes the other way or pulls balls that are in the middle of the plate to the outside. If he gets pitched inside, he doesn't swing at those balls. Every so often he will, just to keep the honesty there, because you can't expect to go and bust the guy in six consecutive times. But you know what? If you do with him, you're going to be more successful than if you try to pitch him away.
Yeah. So it's the ultimate cat and mouse.
Mm-hmm.
It is taking place constantly, and that's part of the deal certainly for Jed Jerko. All right. Benny on Twitter has a question about one of the interesting things that happened in last night's game, sort of lost in the shuffle with everything going on. Andrelton Simmons had that weird slide into home plate where he kind of gave Derek Norris the knee as he came in. And Benny wants to know if the dude, Simmons, who tried to take out Derek Norris, has to get plunked tonight. Hashtag Bush League. Hashtag retaliation. What did you think of that slide? Mud was all upset. We heard that last night. What did you make of this play?
I tell you what. If on all three of those plays, 15 or 20 years ago, the runners would have never got to the plate.
Correct.
In this situation, I'm not opposed to a base runner going into a catcher hard. I mean, I played when you could do that. Nowadays, because of the rules, he should have been called out. But it doesn't surprise me that he wasn't called out, because look who was umpiring.
So you're back to that.
Well, only because he's incompetent.
First of all, great throw by Kemp.
It was an awesome throw.
We've seen a bunch of that. I have no idea how Norris picked this and even came close to applying the tag on time. This is a magician-like play by Derek Norris. Simmons, though, with that knee reaching out as he goes by, it looked like a little bit of a cheap shot. Norris, by the way, not in the lineup tonight. Really interesting lineup, which we'll get to after the break. But, it was a little bit borderline dirty. Now, in all honesty, if you read the collision rule that was put in place, you know, last year for Major League Baseball, you're allowed to make contact with the catcher if he's got the ball and if he's sort of in your way a little bit. Now, Norris gave him a lane. It was a small lane. So what Simmons did, I think technically, like, letter of the law is okay, but it was a little bit unnecessary, maybe, I would say. Slide to the outside and you're going to score easily. He kind of seemed to be initiating some of the contact, but like you said, that's nothing compared to what, you know, might have happened in a situation like that as few as 2 or 3 years ago.
As a base runner years ago, and I'm talking about when you look behind the plate and you see Mike Socha or Steve Yeager,
yeah,
or Johnny Bench,
one of those giant guys,
or Manny Sanguian, and it wasn't because of their size as much as it was you knew that their leg was going to be planted in front of the plate. Mm-hmm. You knew as a base runner what you were facing on a close play at home, that you had to go around or you had to bowl them over. That's all there is to it. That entered your mind as a base runner. You knew what you needed to do. That's the way the game was played.
Yeah, and now the Buster Posey rule has taken that out of the game of baseball. So I guess his question at the end of the day, Benny's, is, you know, is there retaliation? Is it necessary? Is it something you even want to open up if you're the Padres?
If I'm the manager of this ball club, and I'm not, or if I'm a pitcher on this ball club, I don't have any retaliation towards him. I really don't.
Part of the game?
I think it's part of the game.
Yeah. Anyway, it was real shaky to me. A little unnecessary.
So if you're pitching, you pluck him.
Yeah, if I'm pitching.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to at least brush him back. Just like a message thing. Nothing else aside from that.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing to do, I'll probably brush the guy back. Just make him think about it a little bit.
Now, if I find out that Norris is out of the lineup because he's hurt because of it, I nail him in the ribs.
Okay. We'll see what Buddy has to say about all of that.
What did Buddy say about that? Did anybody?
No, we're waiting.
Was it brought up?
We're waiting, I think, for Buddy.
Not about Norris's whether or not he's injured, but the play itself.
Yeah.
On whether or not he brought that up to the umpire as to him having a lane and not using it.
It didn't look like it. It didn't look like it. I might have missed something, though.
Not
a lot of our local reporters are there in Atlanta. Not a lot of our local reporters there. Information has been a little bit tougher to come by the last couple days. But, you know, we'll see what he says before tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that'll be interesting. All right, we'll come back. Obviously, get to more of your Twitter questions and comments and from the chat as well. And also give you a look at today's starting lineup. It is a very different lineup, certainly,
yes,
for the Padres here tonight in Atlanta. Guarantee the opportunity to purchase tickets to the 2016 All-Star Game at Petco Park. Become a Padres season ticket member at the Gold or Platinum level and lock in your chance to get tickets. To learn more, visit Padres.com/ASG. More from the AMR studio right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Back at the AMR studio here at Petco Park inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, talking about last night's tough 6-5 loss to the Atlanta Braves. Would you classify that as the toughest loss of the season so far?
For me, it was.
Yeah.
I don't know how other people felt about it.
I'm only asking for you. I would never ask you to speak for anybody else, but for you, it was.
Well, I speak for other people.
I just wouldn't ask you to do it. I didn't say you
But really, don't. I mean, how about for you?
Yeah, no, it was.
You
it
know
was.
Why? Because you were no chance.
That's it. I'm telling you, 5-0.
No chance.
Going to the bottom of the sixth, I felt completely comfortable.
Exactly.
I felt completely comfortable with the situation. I wasn't worried about it. And then all of a sudden, the wheels came off and weird stuff started to happen. And then maybe even more frustrating than all of that is that the Padres were still very much in it. It wasn't like the Braves had this huge inning and all of a sudden they led by four. They tied the game. And then you think you take the lead with Upton, and then this guy hits this home run off Benoit, like of all people, too.
You can't say his name yet.
Turdoslovich, whatever,
yeah,
you know.
You might be able to. I can't.
It's, you know, Freddie Freeman comes up there and he gets you. You say, okay, but, you know, it's a 2-0 pitch that misses location. And we've said that a bunch of times this year, too. First career home run. My goodness, for Joey Turdoslovich, who plants
good.
It to right field. But that's, again, you know, the importance, I guess, of strike one and of getting ahead and of locating your pitches where you want, because even if the guy's name is Turdoslovich and he's never hit a home run in his big league career, he's got the ability to do that on a fastball up over the plate.
And during their rally, you talked about Simmons' good at-bat that he had. The guy with the San Diego Padres that had the at-bat of the night was Yonder Alonso.
Yes.
He had an outstanding at-bat before getting the double down the right field line, which really got things going for the ball club. It really impressed me.
Yeah, he has been locked in, mm-hmm. and that's a great segue to tonight's starting lineup because you're going to have to take a look at where Yonder Alonso is for Buddy Black tonight in Atlanta. The lineup is presented by United Airlines, and Yonder Alonso is at first base, and he is cleaning up a night off for Matt Kemp. So Venable is in right field, Spangenberg at second, Justin Upton at left, Yonder at first, Middlebrooks at third, and Melvin Upton Jr. making his first start as a Padre. So he'll be in center. His brother will be in left. Amarista short. Hedges is the catcher tonight for Tyson Ross. So you've got both Uptons. You've got Yonder batting cleanup. That's the Padres starting lineup presented by United. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. This is a different kind of look, isn't it?
So ball to left center field. Who takes it?
Upton.
The older brother. I love that. Yeah. That's really good.
That's easy.
So is the older maybe brother,
Amarista,
younger brother?
If it's a shallow, pop.
Older brother, younger brother,
center
more
fielder.
Popular brother,
center fielder.
He's
right?
He's got a chance to really tick off the Atlanta Braves fans.
Oh,
tonight.
Can you imagine
Melvin Jr. if he does something?
That's going to be great.
Oh, it would be. Really would be.
So for the first time as Padres, Melvin and Justin start in the same outfield. Of course, they did it many times with the Braves the last couple of years. But yeah, no fly ball to center or left. Upton's got it. I'm not worried about that. Upton will be there.
I love what Buddy did because there's nothing better with the exception of ticking off Tommy Lasorda, than ticking off Atlanta Braves fans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, they get all they all got hot and bothered over
they
Melvin Upton
bothered.
Being out there, and I can understand that, certainly. By the way, the weather forecast, not as bad as last night, but it doesn't look pristine either for Atlanta, so just something to be aware of as you try and plan your late afternoon here. You know, look, it's June in Atlanta. It's going to be hot, it's going to be humid, and there's going to be a decent chance, at least, of rain. Although, how about that 50-minute delay before last night's game? My understanding is not a single drop of rain fell during that 50 minutes. It was just threatening. It looked bad, but it didn't actually rain. And then all of a sudden they were like, I guess we'll try this.
If there are pockets, and I'm not trying to be a meteorologist here.
No,
but
I like
if
this.
There are pockets of thunderstorms and areas to where it looks threatening,
yeah,
then they'll stay in and not. And now
because
with
the
technology,
thing everybody wants to avoid is you get the pitcher heated up and out there. So,
exactly.
So you're not going to complain about that.
Oh, okay. Not at all.
Okay. Because, you know, some people were saying, oh, maybe some gamesmanship from the Braves, you know, or something like that. They wanted to get the game in first and foremost because they had a big crowd for a bobblehead. So that's one for the Braves. But two, I think, and much more importantly, and certainly with Shields out there for the Padres, you appreciate it. You just want to make sure that once your starting pitcher goes out there, he's not going to have to come out in a half hour or something like that.
And maybe if they would have started it on time, the sixth inning would have became the eighth inning with James having a 5-0 lead, and he would have been out.
Interesting. There you go. All right, so it worked out pretty well. All right, the draft is over for the Padres. They have made their final selection, and what's the last pick here, Blooper? Right fielder from College Park High School in the 40th round. The Padres have made their 40th round selection, their final pick of this year's draft. Obviously, Austin Smith in the first round, or excuse me, in the second round, their first pick. Jacob Nix, the pitcher who the Astros took last year, was the Padres' second selection. We'll obviously get to know more and more about these guys over the next several years, but an exciting day for A.J. Preller and scouting director Mark Connor.
It was an exciting couple of days for him, and I kind of liked watching it because I liked seeing the guys who were coming out the intro to picks. That was kind of fun.
That was fun.
To see the different guys.
Absolutely.
Guys that came out with two people because they couldn't speak English very well, Omar Marino from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he turned it over to somebody else in the organization that introduced the guy. I thought that was comical. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
It's been fun to watch the last couple of days. So those guys up in the war room here at Petco, they can kind of take a deep breath and relax for a couple of minutes at least before they start preparing for the 2016 draft next summer. And that preparation really does begin almost immediately. Mark Connor is going to join us, I think, hopefully tomorrow morning on the show. So we'll kind of recap the draft with him and get a little bit more intel on these guys. But the amount of work, preparation, studying, scouting that goes into making these selections, it's almost incomprehensible.
It really is. What's your take on Nix?
I'm excited. I like it. I think he's value at that spot in the third round. This is a guy that the Astros were prepared to give a lot of money to last year, and he's really, really well-regarded. Now, look, I'm not a scout. I've never seen the kid pitch. But just, you know, reading everything you've read about him, I like that. I like it a lot for the Padres. That's exciting.
You know what I like about him? He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He
and
absolutely does.
That could carry him at least through the first season or two of pro ball. And if he can continue it on, he might be at the major league level a lot quicker than people realize.
86th overall pick yesterday for the Padres in the
last
third
year
round.
Made him upset.
Yeah, oh, no, and rightfully
and I think
so.
This year made him upset, not getting picked until he did. But I think he's happy with where he is.
Very interesting. All right, one more Twitter question before the break. And this is one, it's Jake this time, but it's been like everybody every day for the last week or so. Who will they send down when Will Myers gets called up? The indication, by the way, seems to be that Myers could very well be with the team tomorrow for the day game, which would mean he's arriving in Atlanta sometime today or tonight. For all we know, he's already there. But Myers, it sounds like very possibly could be on the active roster tomorrow. It's a good question. I would guess, though, my guess, after what happened today, Jerko down and Nick Vincent up, I would guess a relief pitcher. That's going to be my guess.
Me too.
Okay.
And I would have said that Clint Barmas was going to get released, but not anymore.
Playing well.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah.
Even though he's not in the lineup today, he's playing good.
He's playing
good.
And
I don't think the ball club, I mean, you know, they still might do something, but I don't think the ball club's going to move him right now with the way he's swinging a bat and playing.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can. I agree with that. So it'll be interesting, obviously, to see how the roster sort of continues to shake out over the entirety of this summer. But for sure, right now, I would think a reliever. Just, you know, with Vincent coming up for Jerko, it's sort of a position guy goes and a reliever comes. I feel like maybe that goes back the other way tomorrow when they activate Myers. But as always.
Well, do you think it'll be Vincent? Just turning around and going back?
No, I don't. I think it'll be somebody else. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on
it. I hope it's not Garces.
The lefty?
I really don't hope. Yeah. I really do. Hope it's not him.
So we'll see. As always, I don't know nothing. You know, I'm just spitballing here and speculating, which is always kind of an obnoxious
thing
to do.
That's what we do.
Yeah, no, I guess so. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and with Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. I guess we'll know. We'll know when we know, which could be as early as tomorrow. We'll take a break, come back, more Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show with former Padre Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres and Braves coming up at 4:10 from Turner Field in Atlanta. Last segment, we took a look at the Padre lineup, which is certainly a little bit different today. Both Melvin and Justin Upton are in the starting lineup. Yonder Alonso is cleaning up with Tyson Ross on the hill. And that brings us to our Supercuts head-to-head challenge, where Blooper selects against the day's co-host. And you each get one opportunity to pick a member of the starting lineup. Pitcher is fair game. There's no point system. It's just whoever has the biggest impact on the game. So if you take this guy and he has a big impact and the other guy didn't, the first guy wins. It's really very straightforward. Blooper has the first selection today, and Blooper is going to go with?
Tyson Ross.
He's taking the pitcher, Tyson Ross. So he thinks Tyson will have the biggest impact on this game of anybody for the Padres. And you believe it will be who, Kurt Bavacqua? Whom?
I'll go with your guy.
My guy?
Yonder Alonso.
Oh, I like that.
Blooper's guy.
Oh, Blooper's guy.
Yeah, he's going with starting pitching now. Have you noticed that lately?
Yeah, no, he's it's essentially a way to double down.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the guy has a pretty good outing, the odds are that the guy the other person chooses isn't going to be the one to drive in a bunch
unless
of runs.
Unless he goes 3-for-4 and drives in 4 runs.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got to have a big day offensively.
He's gaming the system a little bit.
Yes.
But, hey, you know what? He's got the first pick. It's part of the deal.
Is he still losing?
No. Sadly, he's jumped ahead.
See what I mean? He's throwing pitchers now.
He's gaming the system. Do you have the standings, the up-to-date standings? I mean, this is not good for you guys.
Did you take Shields last night?
You represent the couch. No, he won last night. He had Norris, I think.
Wow.
So Blooper has got a three-game lead now.
8-5 over the empty couch.
Yeah. And, of course, the couch is represented by the different co-hosts each and every day. That is the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. All right. Away from the Padres for just a moment. Earlier today, an afternoon game between the Nationals and the Yankees in the Bronx, and something historic happened. Bryce Harper, for the first time as a professional, not the first time as a major leaguer, the first time as a professional, saw a pitch from a pitcher younger than he is. 1,200-plus plate appearances, minors and majors, and for the very first time, he waited for a pitch delivered by someone younger than him.
Well, it was going to happen sooner or later.
Yes, it was.
But it's pretty amazing that it took so long.
Jacob Lindgren, a young left-hander from the Yankees, 2,300 professional plate appearances.
That's amazing.
Before a pitcher was older or younger than him.
That's really insane. Is amazing.
Absolutely insane. The Blue Jays, by the way, have won 8 straight. They took down the Marlins again. In their last 18 wins, they have not had a save. 18 straight wins for the Blue Jays without a save situation. Or without a guy picking up a save.
And the Marlins are struggling, too.
Yes, they are. Giancarlo Stanton continues to hit.
Without a save. That's
crazy,
weird.
Right?
There's a lot of strange things happening in baseball.
Yeah, and that's a part of what makes it fun, is you have all these weird things happening. One other note from around baseball. David Price criticizing the fan voting in the All-Star game. He is not happy that all of the Royals are ahead of Miguel Cabrera. I mean, it's Moustakas, for goodness sakes, over Cabrera, which is criminal, but that is the nature of this thing. So, Kurt, I'm going to place you on the Cholula hot seat, and this has become a hotter and hotter topic, it seems like, every single day. The fan voting with the All-Star game. Speaking of gaming the system, the Kansas City fans are stuffing the virtual ballot box for their guys and like 7 of the 9 American League positions right now, and with several weeks to go in voting, to be fair, are occupied by members of the Kansas City Royals. The reality is it's that way because their fans are voting more than anybody else's fans. Are you okay with this?
No.
What would you do?
Just change the name of the game. Because it's not the All-Star game
anymore. Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's who's more popular game.
Okay.
That's what it is.
The all-popular all game?
All-popular. Or from the city that spends the most time stuffing ballots.
Yeah.
Because there's some cities that just won't do it. And as much as I love San Diego, we have the type of fans, for the most part, that aren't going to sit around stuffing ballot boxes.
Got better things to do.
I don't
know. Unlike those rib eaters in Kansas City.
That's exactly right. They sit here and have a barbecue.
That's it.
And you should have seen it when they had ballots. I mean, it was even worse. They would do it in the stadium's parking
right.
lot.
Yeah.
Have ballot stuffing.
Parties. Because there ain't nothing else to do in KC, man. Or St. Louis. You know, I like to insult all the Central Division teams whenever I get the opportunity to do so. All right, it'll be interesting because we might be reaching a tipping point. We might be reaching a tipping point
yeah.
where baseball is going to have to do something. All right, that's the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Take a break. More with Kurt Pavakwa on Padres Social Hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park, just about 20 minutes away from first pitch in Hotlanta. Padres and the Braves with Kurt Pavakwa. I'm Jesse Aguilar. I got a couple of tweets coming in. We were just talking about All-Star voting. David Price firing back at the system. Our buddy Spoonie Barger on Twitter, he says, hey, instead of getting rid of fan voting, get rid of the All-Star game altogether. Why you want to do that? What are you talking about?
It's kind of extreme.
Yeah, it's a little bit much.
But it's not.
I like
it's
the All-Star
nothing
game.
Like it used to be.
I know.
I mean, do you still watch the Home Run Derby?
I can get through, like, the first round and a half, and then it's like, okay, I'm good. Like, it just takes too long. That's my thing with it.
It's crazy.
Now, all that said, I'm so excited for it when it's here next year to try and see it in person. I think that would be a cool thing. And I want to see guys, like, hit it over the Western Metal. Like, that's awesome. So I get it, but it's hard to sit through the entirety of, like, the 3 hours. But, you know, maybe they can have a pitch clock for Home Run Derby now, like they do down in the minor leagues for the games. Skills pay the bills on Twitter. He asked if the Padres are a definite buyer, seller, or both when it comes to the trade deadline as of right now. So the right now is the operative thing, Skills, because it's June 10th, which means you're, like, 6-7 weeks out from really having this conversation seriously. It doesn't matter what they are today. So, I mean, if you're asking if the trade deadline were tomorrow, what would be they be? I would think they're not sellers. I would think they're not sellers because they're right there. But I think it's a little early for this question. It's a little bit early.
Well, they're going to have to be completely out of it before they just throw this year away. Because
yes.
when you're sellers, you're throwing a year away. I think the next 18 games, I brought my newspaper from this morning. I don't normally do that when I'm on the show because mm-hmm. I just read so many things and I keep it in my head. I don't need to refer to things. But I'm going to because I think the next 18 games through the Arizona series here in San Diego mm-hmm. are the most important part of the year for this ball club.
It's a big stretch. There's no question. There's a big stretch. I agree with that. All right. Do you know an all-star mom? Well, Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one all-star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 All-Star Game in Cincinnati. Go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. Allstarmom.com. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up this Wednesday, June 10th edition, not a trade deadline edition, of Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Kurt Pavakwa. I'm Jesse Agler in the AMR studio. All this All-Star Game talking. And I think a couple things to always keep in mind with the All-Star Game stuff. One, remember, the fan voting, that's only for the starters. You know, so after that, you know, these grievous, you know, things that are happening can be made up for. If Miguel Cabrera does not get voted in, he'll still be an All-Star. he just won't be starting the game. And the other thing to remember is that at the end of the day, it's an exhibition, although they did make it count a few years ago, and maybe that's part of the issue here, too.
But.
Yeah, he did that.
But
he did that.
Count.
He made it count after the tie in Milwaukee. Anyway, that'll do it. Williams Perez going for the Braves tonight. Tyson Ross for the Padres. Third game of a four-game series at Turner Field in Atlanta. And it will be starting before you know it. Enjoy it. And then we'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning. Woo!